and welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what to do if you think a client isn't a good fit for your business. Now, I've got to say, throughout all my coaching experience, all my coaching clients, throughout running SEO Hive and working with multiple digital agencies on a white label basis, this has to be one of the most common challenges that I come across in dealing with digital agencies. And I get it. You know, it takes quite a lot of courage, and it takes maybe a shift in mindset to actually start saying no to people. When we're fledgling businesses, when we're new, we say yes to everybody, and we kind of get into that habit. And it's good human nature to want to serve people, to want to help people the best way you can. However, and I touched on this a little bit in the last episode, the reality is that you also need to look after yourself. You need to look after your own business. You need to look after your own mental health. You need to look after your own operation. And actually, some clients just won't fit that operation. And that is absolutely fine. Just because you can help somebody doesn't necessarily mean you're duty bound to do so. That is something that was taught to me by an agency coach a long time ago. And actually, when I heard that, it made me feel a little bit strange, to be honest. It made me feel a little bit out of my comfort zone. I had to process it quite a lot to become comfortable with saying that out loud. But the more that I sat with it, and the more that I kind of processed it and understood what that meant for me and my business, the more I became comfortable with it. Because the reality is, if you say no to clients that aren't a good fit, you can help more people that are a good fit. And so actually, by saying no to one person doesn't mean you're not helping them. We're going to talk in a little bit about ways you can say no, ways that you can deal with clients that aren't a good fit. But it doesn't mean that you're not necessarily helping them. You're just merely finding them the help that is correct for them, or helping them find that help for themselves. And actually, what that does is then free up you, your time, your mental space, your schedule, et cetera, in order to help more people that you are a good fit for and that you can help in the way that you want to help them. So what we're going to do in this episode is run through just a few bits. Firstly, what are the common signs that a client isn't a good fit? Secondly, why it's important to say no. Thirdly, and this is the real challenge, how to say no, a few tips on that. And then finally, what are the alternatives than just cutting somebody off at the, you know, right at the start. So firstly, why it's important to understand that a client isn't a good fit for your business, and what are the signs that you may see? Well, firstly, there's a number of red flags. If you're a member of the admin bar, if you're a member of our group in Retain FM on Facebook, these conversations come up from time to time, and you know, you see the little emojis of red flags going up. The reality is that it's really important that you build processes into your own agency in order to try and flag up if a client is going to be a good fit or not. I've spoken about this before in terms of selling retained agreements. We never sell a retained agreement to a client we've never worked with. That's just our bottom line. And the reality is that if we're not a good fit for a client and we do start a retained agreement with somebody, then and it doesn't work, then we're into a world of pain just to get out of that agreement. Not in terms of, you know, we have clauses in our contracts and all that kind of stuff, but it's just mentally draining. It just makes life hard work for the period of time that it takes us to clear those decks. So actually, let's just not get there. And the way that we don't get there is that for all of our retainers, we sell two gated products on the way through. And the reason we do that is so that we get to work with the client gets to work with us. And before we offer the next service or the next product, we are asking ourselves, okay, is this a client we want to deal with? Is this a client we want to work with? Now, of course, occasionally some get through the net and it doesn't work and we have to deal with it. That's absolutely fine. But we at least have a process in place to try and weed out some clients that we're just not a good fit for. So as I say, with our retainers, for SEO retainers, that starts with a sale of an SEO health check and health audit, because that not only lets us work with the client, but also lets us work with their website. So if we're going to work on a website we haven't built, we want to get our, you know, we want to get under the skin of that, understand how it's built, understand what their objectives are. Will this website convert? Are we going to need to put extra work in on top of the SEO that we, you know, that the client's going to pay for? All of that kind of stuff. Once that's done, we then work onto a keyword research exercise. Now, this is a bit more expensive than the health check, so the cost is going up a little bit. But this really is now an exercise where we are liaising with the client. A keyword research and mapping exercise. The actual work involved is maybe only half of the actual project. The other half is about liaising with the client. What are they like getting information to us? How are they to work with? Are they expecting us just to find a lot of this stuff out for ourselves and just going to leave us to it? Or are they actually going to sit with us and work with us on it? Or on the other end of the spectrum, are they going to try and micromanage us with it? And really, we want those clients that sit in the middle that are going to work with us on something. So, you know, do they fit that bill? And only if they then complete that would we then go and offer potentially retained services. So that's how the sort of gates we have in place for that process. And likewise, if you know, if a client's had a project with us and we've delivered a website, then we won't do the health check. But we've worked with them already at that point. So we hopefully have a better working relationship and better understanding. So some examples of things that are red flags that you may or may not see when you are working with a client. The first is misaligned goals. You know, do you understand each other? Are you trying to achieve the same thing? Or are they trying to achieve what you offer? You know, you may be a specialist in a particular area, be it SEO or conversion rate optimization or something else. And actually, if they're looking for something else, then you might not be the right fit. Or it might be a case of they're not ready for you yet, and they need something or some things before your piece of the jigsaw fits. And it's really important that you're honest with clients if that's the case. The second is unrealistic expectations. Now, this again can be a little blurry in terms of defining what this is. Of course, clients want value for money. I get that. They are buying something. They're investing in something. They need to know that they are getting the most they can for their money. I do that when I buy things, so I completely get that side of the table. However, you're a business. I run a business. You run a business, and that business needs to make money. It needs to make profit in order to be successful, and in order to sustain itself for over a long period of time. So, on the same note, those expectations that the client has on a project or retainer, whatever the agreement is, they need to be realistic within the scope of what you're trying to achieve. You know, if a client comes to me and they're wanting to compete with Nike about selling shoes in the search engines, the reality is that's going to be a hard task. We're going to have to put in a lot of work in order to make that happen. And that needs to come at a fair price to us. And, you know, but it needs to have a fair representation of value of return on investment, ROI, to the client. Whereas, you know, a client that comes to build a website that initially seems quite small and you quote it as, you know, I don't know, maybe a small lead gen site or something like that, can blow up. And all of a sudden, once the client's agreed, oh, we need this, oh, we need that, oh, we need the other. And that's where it's really important to have things like scopes of work in place so that if the client changes the brief, your estimate, your quote, is essentially tied to the brief. So if the client changes the brief, you reserve the right to change the quote alongside it. So do those. That's another red flag, unrealistic expectations. Unfortunately, if you don't have the gated products in place and you dive straight into a project, it could be too late already by the time you see this in order for that red flag to sort of be made evident. So how can you identify these things ahead of a large sale? The third thing is poor communication. Now, again, this can be something that is difficult to assess all the time. You know, people take holidays, people have time off, people just have bad weeks where they are difficult to get hold of. And that's part of life. But then, you know, your time and your effort is also important. And by if people are consistently not communicating with you properly or effectively, maybe not using the channels that you see as, you know, that you want to that you want to use, et cetera, that can become another hurdle to overcome. And again, that can delay projects and delay ultimately your cash flow and your profit. So making sure that the client is reasonably responsive, if they're taking a vacation or whatever, that they're notifying you of those kind of things, so you can work around it. That's all signs of a good relationship. Those things are missing, then again, another little red flag. Often when you speak to new clients, they talk about budget. Now, I talk about budget when I speak to new clients because I want to make sure that there's no surprises. I don't want to go to all the effort and you know, the time it takes to prepare proposals, etc., if the budget isn't going to be there. But on the same note, you know, this comes back to the point we were making earlier. Clients obviously want to see value for money. So there needs to be a frank discussion somewhere early in a relationship with a client that, you know, this is a ballpark figure for this is going to be X or X to Y. I often use ranges for pricing because it does sort of help with setting some scopes. But yeah, if a client's budget doesn't align with somewhere that you are prepared to go, rather than compromising your own hourly rate or your own profit, actually the question then needs to go back to, okay, well, if the price for this is X, and you can only achieve Y, what do we need to lose out the brief in order to reduce that cost from X to Y? And, you know, there may be some play in it. If it's, of course, completely unrealistic for you, then simply pass on. That's just the way it's going to be. We're an agency. We have staff. We have overheads. And, you know, we're never going to be able to compete with a teenage student that's working out of a bedroom doing projects on the side. They're not our competition. So if that's your budget, that's who you need to go and find. But this is our budget and we're a business that works like this, and you get our service for that and our expertise. So you need to have a discussion about how the budgets can fit, whether it's realistic or unrealistic for you. One final note on budgets. You know, you would never go into a shop and when you then find out how much something is, try and barter them down to a lower rate. You wouldn't in the Western world anyway, I should say. And essentially, that's kind of the process you're going through in a weird kind of way. So, you know, if you go to a supermarket and you buy a trolley full of stuff and it comes to £100 and you've only got £80 in your pocket, the way to resolve that issue is for you to take £20 worth of stuff out of the trolley. You need to take, you know, you get less in order to have the cheaper price. And that's kind of the mentality that I think is healthy for agencies to work through. Our price for this website is X. If you don't like it, then you can go find quotes from somewhere else. If you want it cheaper than that, what are we taking out? And that's a really healthy way to look at budget limitations on projects. The next, I've got two more things I want to talk to you about. The next thing is previous negative experiences. Now, I'll be honest, I've been burnt by this one a little quite recently. You know, we had a client come to us. They were referred in by somebody else. They all seemed to be a good fit. We went through the gated products. They were fine. They were very communicative. Some may have said too communicative. But you know, we set off on a good foot. They passed our checks. We were good with this. And then we explained how our processes worked. We tried to set expectations of times, timescales, and when results could be seen, and this, that, and the other. And after about 2 weeks, this was for an SEO retainer. And after about 2 weeks, we then spoke to the client again about our process, and they had more questions, which I was happy to answer. But in the process of answering these open quotes, more questions, we actually ended up going over the entire process for a second time. Okay, I get it. You know, we're a new agency to you. We're a new working partner. And this is, you want to understand what we do. I get it. So we did that and it was fine. They then received their next invoice two or three weeks later. So for the next month. And they rang up and questioned the invoice and wanted to understand what our process was because we charged them this amount of money, which of course was the same amount of money in the project agreement they'd signed 4 or 5 weeks earlier. So once again, we went through the through the process with them and outlined what the costs were and referred them to the project agreement, et cetera, et cetera. And there we are. And they did pay the bill and they went off. What then happened was that the person that had referred the client to us got in touch to find out how things were going. And we kind of told a very brief version of the story that I've just told you. And that they said, oh, well, I'm pleased it's working out because they have worked with 5 agencies in the last 7 months. And we were the 5th. And all of a sudden, the red flags went up like you cannot believe. And essentially, every renewal they had got to, they'd questioned the process, claimed that it wasn't what they'd agreed to, and got out quite quickly. And because of this, because of the negative experiences, in quotes, they'd had with previous agencies, they, of course, were sort of scrutinizing us with the same, under the same magnifying glass. Really, the client's issue was that they weren't prepared to commit to a strategy for long enough for results to be shown. Now, I did try and resolve this with the client, and we did go through a number of iterations. We went to the length of changing our agreement a little bit. So this was more, okay, what we're taking out, what we're putting in kind of conversation. So we restructured things a little bit to make it clearer to the client. But actually, by the time we got to month 3, it was clear the client wasn't open to our process. We were spending far too much time re-explaining things to them. So we called it a day and parted on amicable terms. So I merely tell you that story, not to criticize the client at all, not to sort of shine a light on us either and look at our failures, but actually to say, you know what, these things happen and sometimes they're not that obvious from the outset. So you need to make sure that you, and you can't avoid them. They just come, you know, we're all human. Sometimes things slip through the net. That's absolutely fine. But it's about how you deal with them that really sort of makes the result of that experience worthwhile. So yeah, past negative experiences, if you can dig up any history, it can be invaluable. The honest truth is, if we'd known that we were going to be the 5th agency in 7 months, I never would have started with them. That's the reality. But you know, you live and learn. And I will make sure I always ask my referrals next time about a bit more probing questions about about back history of clients. And then the final thing is a lack of trust. You know, if a client demonstrates a lack of trust in your agency's ability to deliver, then you're on rocky ground. Instantly, you're on rocky ground. You know, if that's they don't like the first set of visuals you show them for a new website, or they don't like the first piece of copy you write them for an SEO retainer. You know what? All of this stuff is subjective. Just because I like black and you like white doesn't make me right or you wrong. But if you're going to take that because you don't like it and then question our ability to deliver, that's overstepping a mark. That's going across a line that doesn't need to be gone over. So we all have differences. We all need to work things out. Certain things are going to take multiple iterations. The reality is we are doing something custom for you, and very few custom things come out of the shop perfect first time round. So we need to make sure that we are working together and collaborating to get the best end result for you. And that may take 2 or 3 iterations to get through the process successfully in order for it to be that best thing. But we are committed to it. And if you're not going to trust us that we can deliver that and work with us to get to that end result, then we're going to have a problem. And ultimately, nobody's going to be satisfied. So really, they are the main red flags, the main examples of things that show that a client may not be a good fit. Sure, there'll be others, and others may be slightly more tailored or unique to either your location or your situation or the niche that you work in. But broad brushstrokes, those 5 or 6 things are, for most agencies, the main red flags. So we've demonstrated what the difficulties can be, but why should you say no? What are the effects on you and your business if you work with clients that aren't a good fit and persevere right till the end in order to try and make things work? Well, the first thing is very simple. It does upset cash flow. My business partner, Steve, he he says two things. The cash flow is king and the client is king. I agree with him on the first one. The second one, I'll beg to differ with him on a little bit. But cash flow certainly is king. We said earlier in this episode, you know, you are a business. You support clients, and clients rely on you to deliver a service over a long period of time. You'll have clients that are on hosting, clients that are on maintenance plans, clients that are on retainers. They need you to be about. So if your business, if you don't have the right cash flow, if your business isn't operating successfully or efficiently as a business, you're not going to be around to help those people over a period of time. So therefore, it's really important that clients that aren't a good fit, you move on and get past in order to keep that efficiency going. Because the reality is that clients that aren't a good fit take up more time. They will become slow payers. They will question bills. And actually, that's all admin and baggage that you just don't need to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it upsets cash flow. Second thing, you will spend too much time on that client. Like I said with the example of the client that wasn't a great fit for us, we ended up essentially doing our sales process to them 3 or 4 times over the course of a month, just over a month, 5 or 6 weeks. We shouldn't have done that. You know, each of those conversations was between 45 minutes and an hour. And they were conversations that all should have taken, well, we had covered as part of our sales process. We were reiterating ourselves. So that's an hour that we're not spending on chargeable work for them or for somebody else, because we're simply going through the process again. So all of a sudden that comes out of our profit. The only person this is costing here is me, or is you in your case. And it's really important that you recognize that. Yes, of course, you have to give clients the due time and due attention that they need, but that needs to be quantified to the project that you're working on in order to keep yourself profitable. If it isn't, then again, that client needs to be moved on. The result of both of those things that I've mentioned is that your profit margin is affected. And, you know, that's not good for anybody. That's not good for you. It's not good for your other clients. It's certainly not good for your business. So yeah, that is the crux of what you're playing with here, is your own profit. We talk a lot about leaving money on the table. If you don't get this bit right, it's throwing money off the table. So make sure that you are constantly thinking in that mindset that this is costing me money. Yeah, make sure you get it right. Next, projects simply don't get delivered because decisions don't get made. So therefore, things don't get approved. So projects don't get delivered. And ultimately, the culminative effect of all of this is that it will affect your mental health, and it'll affect the confidence that you have in yourself to deliver these things next time. And actually, you know, I'm banking on the fact that you are a consummate professional. You know what you're talking about. You know how to code a website or deliver SEO or copyright or run ads or whatever it might be. You know what you're doing. You are the expert in that field. And what your client should be is the expert in their field that aligns with you in order to provide you the information that you need. So when you collaborate, you produce the best ads or the best website or the best copy or whatever it might be for them, so that they get the benefit to their business. And if it doesn't work like that, it's not right. That's why it is so important. This if you get too many clients that aren't a good fit in your business, you will compromise yourself so much that you'll just want to give up and throw in the towel. And particularly if you're a solopreneur, if you're a single person agency, that's going to be really hard. That's going to be really tough. And if you've not got somebody else to bounce off, to share that strain, you know, we've seen agencies go under, people pack up just because they're having bad experiences with clients. And if they just had the strength to say no to some clients and find the space to get some better ones that were a better fit, they possibly could have still been here today, being part of our community, which would have been awesome. So here we come to a kind of the last section, which is how to say no and what are the alternatives that you can give a client. So The first thing you could do is explain that you're not a good fit for XYZ reasons. You really do need to back these conversations up with reasons. But stand to your guns. You are a professional. You run a business. Your business has processes and products and services. If you're looking to buy a car, you don't go to a fruit and veg shop. So that's really the premise here. You are looking for X. That isn't something that we offer, and therefore I recommend you look for these type of people. Maybe you've got somebody that you can refer in. There is an option which I don't support, but I will mention it so that you know I've covered my bases here, which is that you potentially look at reviewing your services and adding a service in or changing a service. Now, if you're a new business, if this is something that you've, you know, started recently and you are looking to expand your client base, you could proceed here with a lot of caution, but it is generally not something I recommend, because ultimately what you do is start saying yes to things that you don't actually know how to do. Therefore, you're not 100% confident you can deliver them. And if you're not confident you can deliver them, you might not. And then the client could come back at you completely legitimately for not delivering on what you promised. So you need to be exceptionally careful if you're going to modify your services. The other option is that you have other people that you work with. Now, it's no secret. In our agency, we do have a number of freelancers that we work with, and we use them to extend our capacity at times when we need them, as do many, many agencies. Now, if a client comes to me and they are not looking for an entire agency service, but something specific, i.e. maybe they're looking for some brochures to be designed, or they have a design of a landing page and they need it to be built, or whatever it might be, I sometimes refer a client directly onto a freelancer if they don't have the budget for our agency service. That helps me out because I don't have to deal with the client that can't afford us. Helps the client out because they still get the job done at the price that they're more willing to pay. And it helps the freelancer out because they're getting extra work that they can invoice direct to the client. In the UK, there's this weird thing where freelancers need to have more than one client anyway. So if a freelancer works with us a lot, it's in my interests that they have more clients than just me. That's a little quirk in the UK system, but it may be different where you're based. But yeah, it's really a... That way, everybody's a winner. Now, I would only do that if I know the client has a good history, is going to be responsive, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want 3 weeks' time for my freelancer to come to me and start complaining about a client I've referred in. That's not where this conversation needs to go. So I need to be uber confident that it's going to work, but it's an option that we have in our arsenal. And of course, another option is that you start to team up with other agencies, either in your locality or your state or your country, or even just around the globe, and that you refer work to each other, either because of capacity reasons or because of your skill set slightly different to theirs, so you can refer leads based on what their requirements are, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really it. Another option is, particularly if you just don't like somebody, is just to say, we don't do that. Sorry. Go and you might. I always try and give a positive. I always try and help them some way. So I'm sorry, we don't offer that. The type of person you're looking for is X, and maybe give them the bit of jargon that they need in order to help them find the next person. What you're really looking for is a user experience designer or a conversion rate optimization specialist or a Google Ads specialist, whatever it might be. We don't do that, but that's the type of person you're looking for. Now, that's all of those things I've said are absolutely fine if you get the red flag early enough. But what do you do if you're already working with a client and then you find out that they're not a good fit? And this really will be where we're coming into land. Well, firstly, you need to have thought this process through. You need to have escape clauses for both sides in your contracts and your documentation so that you can rely on them. So like that client that wasn't a good fit, I activated our offboarding procedure. That was a 30-day process. I cancelled their invoicing, and within the 30 days we had stopped working with them, and that was it. We told them what it was that they needed. We removed our own accesses, et cetera, et cetera. We were around for any closing questions, and that was it. We were done. So, but that's because that's our process and it's documented. And when things did go a little screwy with the client, we had the documentation to rely on to say, okay, this is the process. Here's your signature right next to it. So this is what we're doing. So that's, it's really important that you have thought this through. What are your get out clauses? What are your termination periods? If you're paying for servers 3 months in advance, then you really need a quarterly clause in order to get out of this, because you may have just paid for a service. There's no good somebody not paying your invoice just at the drop of a hat for a server you've already paid for the next 3 months. So these things may be specific to you, but you need to think through the process of parting ways with a client that's amicable and professional and ultimately gives you the freedom to leave knowing that you've done a good job. A lot of all of this is about your mental health and being able to go, close the office door at night and say, that might not have worked, but I have helped that person, and feel good about yourself, feel good about the service that you have offered. Unfortunately, it didn't work out as a paying client, but you have done the best that you could have done for them. So I hope that makes a lot of sense. I do have one final thought as we really land here. But that is that sometimes you do need to reflect on these things. All of our processes get better by understanding what's gone wrong. And whilst it's really important that we try and weed out clients from our pipeline or potential clients from our pipeline that aren't going to be a good fit, when you have one that hasn't been a good fit, try to take some positive steps from it. At SEO Hive, for every client that cancels a website with us, we send them an email and ask if there were specific reasons why, so we can improve our process. And we have direct improvements to our processes that have happened based on the responses that we get from those emails. Now, I'm not saying that you email every client, but actually, whether you can review the documentation, review the emails, maybe try and find the source of what went wrong. Sometimes that will sit on the client side, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that other than try and weed out the clients more effectively in the future. But there are other things that you can do which would improve your process, so you don't have to do this again. Like I said with the client that we recently parted ways with, I now have in my sort of checklist of things I ask about referrals a question that is directly asked to, have they worked with, how many agencies have they worked with in the last 12 months or 2 years? And if we can get a feeling that they have worked with too many of them, then the problem might be on the client side. And of course, that's something that we can avoid. So it's a very small thing, but it's something that I can take away from this and learn from that's going to help me in the future. Whilst, as I say, it's really important to protect your mental health, to protect your process, to protect your business, it's also just as important to be human enough, I suppose, in order to stand back and say, okay, could we learn something from this? Could we make life better for everybody involved here by improving something? And sometimes there isn't, but again, at least you can shut that office door at the end of the day and know that you have done the best job that you can. So that is ultimately, it. That is what to do if you think a client isn't a good fit. If you've got any examples of this of your own, or you're going through this and you want some advice, feel free to drop into the Retain FM Facebook group and pop a post in there. It's a super safe environment to ask questions like this. And the Hive Mind, including myself, will happily sort of help you work out some of these challenges, because they're not always straightforward. And it is very difficult to cover in a podcast episode something that's going to cover every agency in every place with every different set of circumstances. So I hope you found this episode valuable, and I will see you next week.